Yotam Ottolenghi is a star chef. His restaurants in London and his cookbooks offer complicated dishes layered in flavors redolent of the Middle East and the Mediterranean. And they've earned him legions of fans. Out this week, his newest cookbook, Nopi, with recipes from his restaurant, Nopi, which is named, by the way, for the London neighborhood north of Piccadilly Circus. The dishes contain ingredients that are exotic, the hot relish known as sambal, and pandan, a fragrant green leaf found in Southeast Asia, often referred to as the vanilla of the East. Ottolenghi joined us in our studio with his co-author, Nopi's head chef, Ramal Scully, known to one and all as Scully. And I am going to put my first question to you, Yotam Ottolenghi. You write in the introduction that until the two of you met Scully, you knew very little about the magical world of rasam, sambal, and pandan. Take that a little further.
Yeah, well, essentially, I was cooking for many years food that is very much based on the Middle East, where I was growing up. I grew up in Israel with a lot of Arabic food, plus some Southern European food. I've never really been properly exposed to Asian food, and Scully opened my eyes to a degree.
Well then, Scully, describe the foods you were raised on.
Well, I grew up in Malaysia, and my mother's side's Indian and Chinese. So between mother's side, I had 8 aunties, and they all different levels of cooking, using different spices like the black cardamom to curry leaves to yellow and black mustard seeds. And then on my father's side, my aunties were Malay, so they showed me the Malay style of food, you know. So by the time I left Malaysia, I had a large range of basic Malaysian different styles. And when I met Yotam, it was just like, all right, I've got so much to show you. Like, and we basically, the Middle Eastern guy, the Asian guy, and we came together.
And we've been working on and off for about 10 years now, forming a cuisine, which kind of fuses his way of looking at food and my way of cooking.
Well, let me say, at the outset, you do say that this cookbook poses some challenges for the home cook. It's a restaurant cookbook that you've adapted for somebody at home. Can you give us an example of the adaptation? Just, you would do this in the restaurant.
In one way.
And here's the simpler way.
Do you have a good example?
The chicken is one of the
twice cooked baby chicken.
So we have a dish, it's a twice cooked baby chicken. It's one of the original dishes we had when we first opened Nopi.
The dish is based on an Asian master stock, which is a stock that you keep at home. Every Chinese family have this stock, and they cook and cook and cook in it, and it's flavored over time. Yeah. And essentially, it's like your mother dough. It's a kind of thing that feeds you and feeds you and feeds you. So we created a master stock, and we cook the chicken in there. In the restaurant, it's marinated for a very long time. For how many days?
It's been poached first and then marinated for 5 days.
Okay.
But then for the book, we split the chicken in half so you can get a quicker marination.
Yeah.
And still have that same feeling.
Yeah.
So that's one we accomplished. We got the flavor spot on that part.
Yeah. What we wanted to do is really allow people to enjoy the flavors of the restaurant in their own homes.
What about the ingredients? Because if one wanted to replicate even your dishes that have been worked out so that someone like me, home cook, can do them, can actually achieve the dish, how accessible are some of the seasonings you use? I'm thinking of pandan leaves or lemongrass. Rosewater in the U.S. is not for cooking as a rule.
As I see it, there is a lot going on online, and people do go online for the specialty shopping. And I think also if you are in a big city, it's always an adventure to go out to an ethnic shop, to shop of a culture that maybe you're not completely familiar with. But more important, every time we use an ingredient like that in the book, we do offer a substitute. So pandan is a wonderful aromatic herb that works often in desserts and savory dishes all over Asia.
The pineapple desserts.
But when you can't get it, we say, well, use vanilla. It's another sweet thing that works very well in the Western context, but it does work in Asian dishes as well. So we're not fanatics about our ingredients.
There's a dessert, the pineapple dessert. It's using a lot of Asian aromats, star anise, cinnamon, chili, ginger. But the thing is, when we put the pandan, yes, it does give that flavor that smells like beautiful vanilla in a way. So I took the pandan out thinking, if you can't find this, maybe you can use vanilla. And I noticed that vanilla and these spices do blend in. You know, it gets there, but it's a substitution in a way that it does work for some people at home.
For me, it's extremely important to make sure that you will go embark on a recipe, even if you are missing one ingredient.
You know, you joke in the book about writing a chapter called Epic.
Yeah.
the most complex recipes. But in fact, you did include a couple of those.
Yeah. And there are recipes that are very complicated, but I think they're worth your while. So you work on them for, you know, quite a few hours, and they really make complete sense because they really deliver on flavor. So there's a recipe here for pastilla, which is a traditional Moroccan dish, and it's a wonderful pie with lots of sweet and savory flavors coming together so nicely. And although it is a bit of work, although there is a bit of, you know, moments of anxiety when whether it's going to come out properly, it is really, really wonderful dish, so well worth it.
Pastilla, this is one of the great examples because we took a traditional recipe, we added chocolate to it, we added Mexican chilies and the Catalan style kind of spinach cooking.
With pine nuts and paprika. Yeah. The traditional Moroccan pastilla, which is normally served with pigeon, we deconstructed it. We added the layer of Catalan spinach with paprika, with sweetness, and then we wrapped it in phyllo and baked it in traditional way.
Pigeons, is that the normal filling? Pigeons.
Yeah. Yes.
Throughout the Middle Ages, pigeon was extremely popular because they were abundant, they were everywhere. And pigeon pie is really delicious because pigeon meat is rich, so it really can be wrapped in a pie and you can add lots of stuff to it. I mean, these days people mostly use chicken, but the hardy meats, the richer meats, are actually better for pies than chicken. That's why we use the thighs that are a bit fatter.
You've got that gamey kind of flavor too.
I have to say, from this brief minutes with the two of you, you must have a lot of fun at your restaurant.
I think what we have fun, like, you know, we are food geeks. So we like to spend our time talking about food and analyzing it. There's something really liberating with being with someone who's a bit like you in that department, you know, someone that you can really, doesn't think it's completely boring to discuss, you know, quantities of spices or this and that combination, because it's great. You know, there's certain perfectionism that you don't always find in a keen spirit. And we are like that. We are very similar in that respect.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Chefs Ramal Scully and Yotam Ottolenghi. Their new cookbook is called Nopi, after their London restaurant.